a wonderful time. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's not about the trees or the lights, and it's not about the gifts that we give to one another, and it's not about our celebrations. It's not even about the Christmas pageants and Christmas cantatas and that sort of thing. It's about just getting down and worshiping Him. Wise men they rode their camels thousands of miles just to kneel at the feet of a little 2-year-old baby boy, just because who he was, the King of the Jews. They wanted to worship Him. I thank God for that. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. There's a lot of things that have to take place for things to happen. This morning, somebody had to come turn the heat on. Somebody had to come and turn the lights on. Somebody had to come and unlock the doors. And then for the service to take place, there's things that honest, I think sometimes are a lot of just Baptist stuff, offerings and announcements and things like that. But there has to be singing. We sing to praise God. We pray because we want to worship Him in prayer. And then there's the preaching and the teaching of God's Word and Sunday school. All of these are elements that have to take place. And a lot of times, you and I, when we go through our life, we'll overlook little things. You and me, we'll go through life and we'll skim over small details. But we serve a God who takes care of every detail. And Luke chapter 2, I want to read just a Christmas story and just kind of go over some things that God, you've probably heard this preached a bunch and in this season, but God's just really given me some things about little elements that He took care of. And of course, this is nothing going to be new to you. But God really burdened my heart with this and this week, and I've been making notes and been praying over it and looking over it. But Luke chapter 2, if you want to stand with me in reverence for reading of God's Word, in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, what an awesome privilege to be able to worship in the presence of an almighty God, and to come and to worship, Lord, Your birth and giving us the gift of salvation. Lord, You were just as much God as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes as You were as our Savior that was on the cross. And we just thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. We pray, God, now that You'd help us in this hour. We pray, Lord, that You'd just move and touch in each heart. Lord, we thank You for all that You do in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I believe that there is absolutely nothing that we need to take for granted when it comes to the Christmas story. Everything that we look at, we get kind of caught up in routine. Even I guess I was a teenager before I found out and even realized that the wise men didn't show up that same night. And then as I got to reading and studying the Scripture, you know, we just kind of get caught up in the way things always are, in tradition. And sometimes we overlook the things that are in the Scripture. As I was thinking about the Christmas story and thinking about all the elements that took place, some things I want to bring out, and some of them were touched on just a little bit ago. One of them is, the first one I want us to look at is a faithful father in Joseph. You know, Joseph wasn't faithful to Mary, and he wasn't faithful to religion. He was faithful to the God he served. Put yourself in his shoes for a minute, men, and you're asleep, and you're you know, probably, you know, early in the morning. Most of the time, it takes a pretty good racket to wake us up, doesn't it? I mean, this morning there was a phone call, and man, I had just gotten good to sleep, and I know I throwed covers and just about throwed Jess and Gracie out of the bed because it scared me, startled me. But you think about Joseph, and all of a sudden an angel coming to him and saying, "Now listen, I got something I got to tell you. Your wife-to-be is expecting, but she's been faithful. This is the Son of God she's carrying. This is going to be God's son, and you need to take care of them, and you need to do what I'm telling you to do, and everything will go fine." And you read the Scripture, he didn't put her away. We heard that. He didn't consummate the marriage. Everything was good to go. I mean, God took care of every detail. You know, when you first look at the story, you miss the little bitty details of what Joseph didn't do and what Joseph did do that helped to make the miracle of the virgin birth real. He was there. I mean, he could have done everything by law and done everything, but instead, he was faithful. I want to say something to you this morning, men, and listen, I'll be honest, most of the time I'm harder on men than I am the women, because God puts a great, great responsibility on us. Our society today needs some good, faithful fathers. That instead of going with, I mean, listen, you know what some of his buddies probably said. If he was around the workshop, carpenter shop, some of them other men were probably bringing him little parchments and saying, "You know, right here's what it says." And I'm using my imagination right here. But you know, he was probably getting all kinds of advice from other places. But instead, he was faithful to what God was telling him he needed to do. And that's what you and I need to do as men in today's society. We don't need to listen to what's popular. We don't need to listen to the culture. We, a lot of times, listen, I've got some good buddies that you can worship the Lord with, but sometimes their advice just don't quite line up with what the Scripture teaches and what the Spirit's leading. And so what I need to do and what you need to do and what we as men do is we need to stay sensitive to that Holy Spirit and listen to what God's telling us and be faithful to God, and you see what happens. God blessed him. God worked. I mean, listen, not only was he sensitive at this first night, but after Jesus was born and Herod was wanting to kill all male children 2 years and younger, he was sensitive when the angel woke him up and said, "You need to get to Egypt." And then later on, we know that the angel came to him and said, "All right, it's time you can go home." And so he was sensitive. And that's what you and I need to do and need to be today, is sensitive so that we can stay faithful to the things of God. I mean, listen. Every Sunday and every Wednesday we preach. And I preach 4 or 5 times a week. This morning, I mean, the parking lot was too bad at church and you couldn't, the state really helped us. And there's a berm of ice and snow that literally I could barely get my pickup over. There wasn't no way most of the folks in my church, because they ain't got big trucks like I, and I don't have a real big truck. And talked to some of the men, and so, you know, we decided we would have it. Well, it would have been real easy. Just be right now sitting with my feet propped up in a recliner, probably watching some kind of Christmas show with my little girl and relax, maybe outside riding a sleigh. But me and Jess got to talking. I said, "We could go to church this morning." "Well, where do you want to go?" "We'll go to Bethel." And it wasn't that we wanted out of routine, but we wanted to go because there was something inside of us that just said, "Well, I want to hear preaching." I don't think she wanted to hear me this morning, but you know, we both wanted to hear preaching, both wanted to hear the Word of God, both wanted to be in the house of God, worshiping God. And that's what it takes, is being faithful no matter what the circumstances go on, no matter what the situation says. I'm going to stay true to God. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Men, if we'll stay faithful, the family kind of follow behind us. Amen? I mean, I've kind of found out and watched that in most cases, when Dad stays home, A lot of times, most of them, but Mama will stay home. And sometimes it wears on Mama, and Mama will stay home. Joseph was a man that was faithful. And because he was faithful, the everything that God was doing and bringing Christ to us was able to take place because it, and it started with a man who was faithful to what God was telling him to do. Not only was there a faithful father, but there was also a meditating mother. Look with me. I read it in verse number 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's a connection between mother and child that's different between a daddy and a child. I watch it. Jess can sometimes, she can see, and I watch her just watching Gracie, and God really got to dealing with me back, I guess, in August and September, and I was watching Jess with Gracie. Everything that young un done, she would just eat it up and soak it up. And every now and then I'd catch her, you know, like if she goes, and she don't go much because we can't stand to be without her. But sometimes she goes and stays with Mama and Papa, and sometimes she goes and stays with her Mimi. And I can catch Jess. It never fails. And you men will know what I'm talking about. When you're going down the road, just the other week we were going to do some Christmas shopping, and Gracie wasn't with us, and I looked, and Jess was just staring out the window, and I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Just thinking about Gracie. Just thinking she had done this in her day and done that in a day." Listen, that showed, listen, Mary pondering these things in her heart, Mary taking all these things and taking them in and letting them penetrate her heart, was showing the compassion and the love and the nurture she was going to have and the responsibility she took, that this is not just any ordinary child, but her above Joseph, her above the shepherds, her above the wise men. She knew this was the Son of God. When everybody else said that, you know, maybe she had been unfaithful to Joseph, Mary knew what had happened, and she knew this is all a God thing. And when all of these men, I mean, can you imagine holding that? I mean, you ladies, just imagine holding a newborn babe, or and men coming, these shepherds coming and saying, "Angels have appeared from heaven and told us that we would find you. And look, here you are." And in 2 years down the road, having three wise men coming from different countries and bow down and give them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and say, "We're doing this because we're worshiping the King of the Jews, and we're here. We've traveled from far." And Mary kept all of these things, knowing probably in more reality than anybody else that this was a God thing. Listen, I want to be honest. There'd be a lot of us, it would help a lot of us if we'd meditate more on the things of God and the things God's doing than it would for you and me to think about the way the world's going. Have you ever, listen, who would you rather talk to? Somebody who spent a lot of time, or maybe 15 minutes in prayer and reading the Word of God and talking with God in the morning, or somebody who spent 30 minutes watching the news on the morning and they want to talk to you about all the nastiness and all the dirty stuff that's going on in the world, or somebody that says, "Hey, listen, everything that's going on points us to the fact Jesus is coming. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King." I mean, who would you rather talk to? Mary was sitting there, a meditating mother. I can't help but think about, I mean, just watching you men that are married, you know what it's like. You see your wife, and she's just watching the young'uns, and things are different. Things are different with her, and things are different the way that child, I mean, listen, it never fails. Every time Gracie wakes up from a nap and she walks through, she walks in every room in the house, and Mama's not there. "Where's Mommy?" "Well, she's gone somewhere." She'll just huff and puff. That'll do when there ain't nobody else. But there's something between a mother and a child. Well, listen, it was the same with Mary. And she knew exactly what God had done in her life and what God was doing for the people of Israel and what He had brought about in her life. And the Bible says she pondered these things and kept them in her heart. I want to say this. That's a good place to keep the things of God, isn't it? It's in your heart. There's a story of a man who was a missionary, and I'm thinking he was in Japan, and they told him if he kept preaching, he was not going to be able to. They were going to kill him. They were going to put him in prison. They were going to, you know, he was going to be punished. Well, he kept preaching anyway, and they put him in a cell with no lights, and he was in the dark so long that his eyes, he went blind because there was no light. All he could see was just the darkness, but you could hear him on the outside quoting scripture over and over and over and over. And occasionally you could hear some scratching on the wall, and he would take a rock and he would write scripture on the blocks in his cell. Say, well, he couldn't see it, no, but he was, what he was doing was keeping them in his heart. You know, the scripture says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, our hearts where we need. They may be able to take the Bible you hold in your lap. Amen. They may be able to, eventually, they may try to shut down churches, and we may be like they are in China, having to meet underground. But there's one thing they can't do. They can't take Jesus out of your heart, and they can't take the Word of Scripture out of your heart. And so what we need to do is ponder them. Mary was put, can you imagine what it was like to be able to be seeing Him being beaten and maybe seeing Him go to the cross, but be reminding herself of the day He was born. And about the angel visiting her and telling her, this is the Son of God. And thinking about the name she was told He would be called. And all of it fitting into place. I mean, listen, I know she was sorrowful. I know she had pain. But let me tell you something, folks. She also knew that this wasn't a Mary and Joseph thing. This was a God thing. And this wasn't just their son. This was the Son of a holy God. And He didn't come to build. He didn't come to build chairs and tables in His earthly Father's shop. He'd come to build a bridge to heaven on the cross of Calvary. And she said, that's what it's about. And even though I know it hurt her, she was able to bring all of this back to her mind and say, there's a reason my child, this child is here. Yeah, meditating mother. I want us to look not only at that, and like I said, this is kind of hot off the press, but I want us to look at some shouting shepherds. I'm glad, aren't you? Now listen, Matt, Brent, some of us good old country boys, let's shout right here that they's just some good old hardworking country boys that God threw into this. Amen? I mean, listen, these guys, you know they didn't smell good. I mean, listen, I've been around horses and cows, and listen, I've been around livestock. You can't live out in the field, and you can't sleep out in the open. And you can't lay down with sheep because, listen, there's a story. A fella told me this. I believe it was Mays Jackson had told this story about he had went to the Holy Land and he was standing there kind of watching this hillside, and there was a shepherd come across the hill and had about 100 sheep, and he come down this watering hole, and he just got to watching. The shepherd was just kind of watching the sheep, and then over from this side, there was another shepherd come across. He had about 100 sheep, and they come down the watering hole, and the sheep just started intermingling, you know. And then there was a third one come down. And them three shepherds just kind of standing around talking, 300 sheep just kind of intermingling. And the little preacher thought, these boys are going to have trouble. This is going to be a mess. And I wonder how they're going to get them. Well, the first shepherd, after the sheep had kind of drunk a little bit and had got refreshed, went up on the hillside and just hollered out. There's about 100 sheep just kind of parted from the group and went towards him. Second shepherd went back to where he had come from and stood on the hillside and hollered. Well, old preacher got excited and he said, them sheep's something else. I might have to get me some. So he shouted, and there wasn't a sheep one bleated or even looked his direction. But when that third shepherd walked up on the hillside, he shouted in those three. You know why? Those sheep knew their shepherd's voice. Amen? Why? Because that shepherd spent time with those sheep. Well, now here is a group of boys that had been out in the middle of the field spending time with their... And all of a sudden, I mean, listen, here it is dark and here it is nighttime, and all of a sudden there's an angel appears in heaven and says, let me tell y'all something. The Savior's born. And you ain't going to find Him in a palace. Listen, you know why? Those boys couldn't have gotten the palace. You're not going to find Him in the inn. Why? They wouldn't have let Him in the inn. But what you're going to do is there's a stable. And if you'll find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. All of a sudden there's a heavenly host. And they begin to shout. Well, the shepherd said, let's go see if this is for real. Amen. That's what us good old boys do, don't we? Right. Hey, maybe this is a bad example, but I know most of us in here have seen the movie The Polar Express. Amen. You know the little guy that's on top of the train and he says, seeing is believing? That's the shepherd's idea, wasn't it? Let's go see if this is for real. So they went and they tested it out. When they walked in, there they were. They bowed down. They began to praise Him and they began to worship. And then they went and they told everybody. And this right here is when you can know that something different has took place. They couldn't hold it in.
It said they went through and they started telling everybody. Listen, twice it tells us that they shouted and they let everybody know it on the hill, on the mountainside, on the hillside. And then in verse 20 it says, then praising God, they went returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They couldn't hold it in. Listen, that's what happens when you meet Jesus, isn't it? These people that say they've had a religious experience or they've prayed a prayer but they never want to talk about it. Listen, all you've got is church membership. All you've got is a denomination. But when you get in touch with Jesus, things is different. When you get in touch with Jesus, there's people that you can't help but go tell about it. Listen, I led a boy to the Lord a few years ago. We were turkey hunting. Got down in the middle of a four-wheeler path and he asked Jesus into his heart and we got to talking about it and he said, come on preacher, I gotta go. And he said, where are we going? He said, my boy's been asking me about how to be saved for the last 2 weeks. He said, I'm going to tell him today and I'm going to bring him to this spot and I'm going to say your daddy met Jesus right here in this dirt path and you can meet him too. All you gotta do is ask him. Listen, it was when I was the day on Father's Day, 2 months later, that young boy asked Jesus into his heart and he said, Jesus, save me like you saved my daddy. Make a difference in me like you've made my daddy. Listen, when you get an experience with him, you can't help but shout. Amen. It'll make a difference in your life. Oh, listen, folks. These people, just, now listen, I understand these quiet people and you can worship, listen, you can worship and not shout. I'm not. But these people that can't tell you that they've had an experience with Jesus, these people that tell you, well, I joined the church on this such a... Listen, I'll be honest with you. Them people is the kind of folks that I say, you might need to check up. Because it ain't about church membership. Because let's just be honest, if the choir don't sing what we like or the preacher changes, we're going to change the church membership. Amen? And so, but listen, I'm glad, aren't you, that God writes with a pen that never runs dry, it never blots, and it never disappears. Man, He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life on April the 28th, 1988, when I bowed down and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul at Berry Chapel Baptist Church. That's not based on any kind, not based on a church membership. Couldn't tell you when I was baptized. I know it was. I can't tell you when. Listen, I didn't know for years I even had a church letter. Amen. All I knew was my name was wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life because I had an experience with Jesus. I walked into a room dead, lost, and going to hell, and walked out going heaven bound with a hammer down thanks to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And see, that's what happened with these guys. They didn't. They said the angel told us, but we've seen him. Ain't that something? There's a lot of people can talk about a church service and a lot of people that can talk about shouting in church, but you get to talking about somebody that experienced Jesus in a church service and they'll leave shouting and they won't leave talking about the church, they'll leave talking about Jesus. They won't leave talking about the preacher, they'll leave talking about Jesus. And that's what happened with these shepherds. The shouting shepherds. I want to say there was a heavenly host that showed up. Now listen, maybe my mind's traveling too far. But I've been doing a comparison of the first time He come and the second time He come. And there was angels announced His birth. There's going to be a shout of an archangel to announce His second coming. There was a cloud, a heavenly host that gathered to sing praises. The Bible teaches me that they're singing around the throne. Amen. I believe that when you look at this, I believe God was even portraying to us that this isn't going to be the end of it, folks. This isn't the end. That heavenly host that's announcing His birth, there's going to be a shout from an angel that's going to announce His second coming and when we get to go home and be with Him. There's going to be singing in heaven to worship Him. And they're singing and praising Him now. There's going to be singing and praising Him later when we get there. Listen, that's what it's going to be about. I believe we'll have stuff to do. I don't believe we're going to sit around on a cloud with a little halo and a heart and for thousands of years float around and everything. Why do you say that? Because the Garden of Eden wasn't that way. He didn't create everything and say to Adam and Eve, now sit down under a fig tree and enjoy yourself. He said, now you've got dominion. You need to keep this. I believe that there'll be stuff for us to do. I don't believe we're just going to be sitting there singing and playing harp and kick back. It ain't going to be retirement.
Amen. It's going to be worshiping Him. Amen. But I believe, folks, that that heavenly host was pointing us to the fact that, oh, listen, there's something amazing happening now. There's something amazing going to happen later. Amen. There's something amazing. Listen, we don't know when He's coming. They were praying. They were praying for a Messiah. Nobody knew when He was coming. And He come unexpectedly. And doesn't the Scripture tell us that it's going to be the same way today? That we don't know, but He's going to come like a thief in the night. And He's going to come back. We don't know when He's coming. But listen, I'm glad, aren't you? Even though them old boys, they were standing there, I could just see them probably propped up on their shepherd's staffs talking to one another. When that heavenly host showed up, they said, "All right, folks, it's time. Let's go see this." And they dropped what they were doing and they went ahead and they went to check out what was going on. There was a shining star that was pointing the way. I'm glad, aren't you, that now there's still a light that can point men out of darkness. Aren't you? That star of Bethlehem. Now we understand astrology and you know they were following it and they were mapping out things and it only shows at certain points in time and all of this takes place. But the reason that it was shining was to let folks know Jesus is born. Amen. The Bible says in John's account of the birth of Jesus is quite different than everybody else's, isn't it? The light came into the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. I mean, what is he saying? He said God put His light in the midst of a bunch of darkness. The darkness couldn't overtake it. Why? Because the light overtook the darkness and He was brought into man. Listen, do you know that Jesus in Revelation 22 verse 16, I believe it's verse 16, says that I am the bright and the morning star, Alpha and Omega, the bright and the morning star. Just as there was a Bethlehem star that was shining to let the wise men come to Him and let other men see to come to that stable, thank God there's a bright and a morning star that's leading men out of darkness even now. That's bringing, listen, there's a tag on the front of my pickup truck that says still saving lives. And I get more comments on that tag. I believe He's still saving people, don't you? Yes, I sure do. I believe He's still in the saving business. He's calling men's name. I believe, folks, that He's still a bright and a morning star that is shining in a dark time to bring people to light and bring people to a true relationship and experience with Him that'll change their walk and change their way. It'll change everything about them because they'll be a new creature and a new creation in Christ Jesus. So, preacher, you've missed one. No, I hadn't. I've saved the best for last. There's a beautiful babe. I'm not being funny and I'm not being mean, but I've never seen an ugly baby, have you? I mean, let's just think about it for a minute. Babies are wonderful. I mean, they're wonderful, aren't they? I mean, look, I hate to even say this in a mixed congregation, but I never thought anything about the smell of babies and baby lotion and baby... But everything about babies is beautiful, isn't it? I mean, let's just be honest. When John the Baptist burst on the scene, he was a woolly man, clothed in camel hair, had milk, had honey, a beard, had that about John the Baptist. I see a man with a great big woolly beard, with locust parts, caked in a hot honey knotted beard. Don't you? Now, listen, which is more attractive? An old smelly, nasty looking man who's lived out in the wilderness, or a babe? Now I say, well, he's in a barn wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he's still a babe. But he's not just any babe. Now listen, Matthew chapter 1 says, and his name should be called Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. God took off that robe of glory and splendor and put on a robe of flesh and was made in the likeness of man so that you and I could be saved and that God could be with us. What an amazing... Listen, what... I can't look at a nativity and look at that little babe and not think, man, he's not just a babe. He's not just any child.
But that's God, every bit, 100% God in the flesh. The same one that spoke the world into existence is uttering and blabbering like, now we know he didn't blabber as a newborn babe, but you get my point. The same voice that could speak the world into existence was humbled and came lowly in a manger for you and for me. How beautiful is that babe this morning to you? Jesus. Jehovah saves. God's with us. Why? To save us. Why did He come? To save mankind. He didn't come so that we could worship a nativity. He didn't come so that we could have beautiful churches and have things adorned on Christmas. He came so that He could be wrapped in swaddling clothes, death clothes.
Amen.
I know there's no possible way that every strand of cloth that was wrapped around that baby could be my death and your death and the death of all that are saved, because that's basically what He done. He took our death. But to think for a minute that He took off a robe of glory to be clothed with my death, that He took off His splendor so that He could put on my mortality, my sin, and could die for me, my Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Wrapped Himself in the sin. Now listen, I don't know where I heard this or where the thought really first came to me, but to think that Jesus, He who knew no sin, became sin. What Corinthians tells us. To think that He became every bad thought I've ever had, took them to His cross. Took every foul word that come out of my mouth, nailed it to His cross. Every time that I come to church not to worship, but to be seen and be worshipped, He became that for me. He took and wrapped Himself in my sin and in my death and laid there as a babe in a feed trough. Think about the babe laying in a feed trough, the bread of life, so that whosoever will, let him come. If you're here this morning and you've never had don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He was laying in that feed trough so that you could partake of the bread of life and so that you could have life eternal and experience with Him. What a beautiful babe.
Amen.
What a beautiful babe. Sadly, and lastly, there was an insufficient end. No room. No room. That's where a lot of us are today. How many of us in here this morning would just say, yes, He is beautiful and I love Him and He's my Savior. But how many of us in here would also say, every day I've got room for Him? Every day I make all that and listen, instead of centering our life around Jesus, we try to get our Jesus around our life. Instead of working everything according to Him and His plan, we try to fit Him into our plan. If we've got a room vacant, you're more than welcome to stay. But if not, you got to sit out back. It ain't the best, but it'll do. Oh, and to think about He left the best for me and for you. All of these take place so that we can have life. God took, now, I just kind of skimmed over the top. I hope you go home and in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks, you really start thinking about some of these elements that took place so that we could be here this morning. You know, I didn't come here this morning to preach. I come here this morning because I knew Jesus would be here. I didn't put my wife and young'un in a car that, I'll be honest with you, Jess says it goes good, but Daddy ain't tested it in the snow real good yet. You know what I mean? But I think I tore my truck up playing yesterday trying to go to my mama. So we had to drive the 4Runner. And so we were. I didn't do that and risk that just so that I could come and preach. I wanted to come here this morning and just sit back and worship Jesus because He's something worth making room for.
Amen.
He's something worth centering my life around. He's something that says you're the centerpiece and everything else has got to revolve off of you. How about you this morning? This holiday season, this Christmas season, as God has placed everything in order around you, are you centering around the most important thing, that beautiful babe? And not just for the holidays, not just for Christmas. But listen, New Year's is coming, just down the road. 2010, right on us. Wow. I remember December 31st, 1999, when we expected everything to go poof and it be over, don't you?
Yeah.
They were, listen, Van Camp Beanie Weenies and Vienna sausages were on shortage because everybody's stocking up. Nobody, most of us wouldn't eat them unless we absolutely had to. But in 99, everybody was buying them up. Pork and beans, Beanie Weenies, potted meat, Vienna sausages. Why? Because they'll last. Amen? December 31st rolled around and that clock struck 12 o'clock and they wasn't nothing. Brother Clay, they wasn't nothing. And I got to sitting there in my bed looking at that clock and I thought, oh man, what if my clock ain't right? What if I think it's already 2000 and it's still like 1158 by everybody else's standard? What if we... And I never will forget this. We heard a great big boom. And then I went off to sleep and come to find out some old boys had thrown some dynamite down in a hole somewhere close to my house. And it went boom. And actually, it was 12:01 by my clock when they lit the dynamites, you know. But nothing happened. And when I got up, January 1st, 2000, I never will forget the thought that I had. God's given me another year. What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do? Am I going to waste it? Or am I going to center my life around Him? God took that thought in 2000 and began to deal with my heart about His will for my life and where I was going, what I was doing. It was a turning point in my life. How about that beautiful babe for you this morning? What are you doing? You got room in your end?